Bold. Brave. Herb. With Dr. Pam Peake.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peake, and this is episode 528 of the Bold and the Brave Her podcast. Now, today I'm joined by, how shall I say, a poet, a beautiful, magnificently, crazily amazing poet. Her name is Jill Bielowski. Now, how did I hear about her? Well, there I am, just kind of cruising through the Wall Street Journal, and I happen upon a headline that just got me going. And that headline was, and you're not going to be surprised by this, Finding Therapy in a Pool Lane. The tang of chlorine and the feel of water make the stresses and tragedies of life more manageable. Oh, all right. You had me at the pool. You know, right? That's where you had me. So who is Jill? Jill's newest work of prose is The End is the Beginning, A Personal History of My Mother. Her most recent volume of poetry, Asylum, A Personal Historical Natural Inquiry in 103 Lyric Section, was a finalist for the National Jewish Book Award. She's the author of 5 acclaimed collections of poetry, 4 critically acclaimed novels, and most recently, The Deceptions, a finalist for the Gotham Book Award. Jill, welcome aboard.
Thank you, Dr. Peake. Thank you for having me.
I'm just saying that when I read this piece in the Wall Street Journal, it was absolutely, the only way I could really say this is it was mesmerizing. So I'm going to just, for all of you out there in the Her podcast land who may not have read it, let me just start out with it a little bit. Today I went swimming at my neighbor's pool. Their water is from the sea, so my skin isn't itchy from the chlorine when I get out. With each breaststroke, I feel the stress and worries released from my body. I can think or not think. I'm in heaven. Ah, I cannot tell you how many times I've felt the same way, not just because I'm a master swimmer, but because I've always gone to the sea, to the water, wherever it is, lakes, pool. Why did you write this piece?
Well, it was interesting, Dr. Peake, because I had recently swam at my neighbor's pool that I described in the essay, and I was taking a train to DC where I was about to give an event for my book, The End is the Beginning, at Politics and Prose. And suddenly I just thought about that swim and how grateful I was. And I began to think about all of the different moments, periods in my life where swimming was so healing and important to me. And the 3-hour train ride, the essay just spilled out of me, almost as if I was just in that pool swimming. It all just came forward. And I wanted the reader to think about the ways in which when you go through periods of loss and heartbreak, and I had recently lost my mother to, well, she died during the first month of COVID. And processing her death, I wasn't able to be there. I write about this in my book, The End is the Beginning. I wasn't able to be there during the time in which she was in hospice and then quickly passed away. And I was only able to see her funeral via FaceTime from my sister's phone. And so processing that grief was very challenging. And swimming that summer during COVID was just so important for me to be able to have a place that was just me in the pool, my mind just being able to let go. And yeah, that's really the story.
When did you start swimming in your life? Were you just like, you know, from the moment you were born, you and the pool, they're a thing, right?
Well, you know, I learned to swim at our neighborhood pool. I remember very clearly the first swimming lesson where you had to hold on to the edge of the pool and learn how to breathe, if you remember that, and blow bubbles. And I must have been maybe, I don't know, 5 or 6 years old. And I learned to swim that summer. The community pool was really the place that we went all summer long through my childhood. So swimming was, it began then. And then when I was in school, when I was in seventh grade, we had swim class every week. And I joined the Aqua Gems. I write about that in the essay. And that was sort of the ballet swimming, I guess you would call it. Since then, when I went to college and when I went to graduate school and then first moved to New York, the first thing I always did was, where's the pool? Finding the place where I could swim, even if it was just 20 laps. So I do find swimming to be very therapeutic.
That's one of the things that all of my Her podcast audience knows from me so well, and that is I am constantly harping on the fact that when you do physical activity like this, notice I didn't even use the E word, didn't say exercise. What I'm really trying to say is that it's very healing, and I would like people to connect with something that allows them to heal, to be able to recover, to be able to adapt and adjust, to be able to cope with things when they happen in your life, whether they're real tragedies or you're having one of those days, you know, where do you go? So many people pivot to self-destructive behavior, you know, take a swig from a cigarette, drink alcohol. I'm a little disturbed by how much women are doing this more and more, and the statistics bear this out. And for me, I'm a triathlete, so I'm always outdoors, and I'm a hiker big time. So for me, nature and I get along. We get along. If I'm having a funky day, I'm outdoors. I'm going to find some place to just walk, hike, cycle, swim, and back and forth. And I really want everyone out there in the Her podcast land to really consider, what do you do when things get really tough for you? What do you do? And if it's always leaning into self-destruction, how about we start changing that up here a little bit? And what about, I mean, the simplest thing in the world is get out of yourself and your place where you live and just walk. Find a park with or without a buddy and just get out. There's actually an entire field of eco-psychology where they've looked at what happens to stress hormone, cortisol, when you actually get out. This swimming thing, I can't tell you how many memories popped up in my brain from when I sought out a pool or a lake or the ocean for soothing comfort and healing. I absolutely love that. It just sort of does something for me. And I want people to understand how important that is. I think you'll love this. Here's somebody from your world, Mary Oliver, one of my favorites. Okay, here it is. And of all the apropos times since we are recording this in August, the name of the poem is Swimming, One Day in August. It is time now, I said, for the deepening and quieting of the spirit among the flux of happenings. Something had pestered me so much, I thought my heart would break. I mean, the mechanical part. I went down in the afternoon to the sea, which held me until I grew easy. About tomorrow, who knows anything, except that it will be time again for the deepening and quieting of the spirit. I mean, what can I say? No matter where I go, there's beauty. And what you wrote here, it just really came from the heart. You know, I sent this beautiful essay you wrote to Lord knows how many people, everyone in my master swimming group, and they all had the same reaction, which was, wow, water was always with her, and that this is a healing place. And I was reading here from this, in graduate school, I swam out my broken heart day after day, week after week. My boyfriend dumped me for the beautiful blonde poet he had met and trashed as stuck up when we were dating. Lesson learned. If a guy knocks another girl in your company, it's because he's smitten with her. Okay, there was a little life lesson there too. And then there you were when you first moved to New York City. You lived in a crappy little place with a galley kitchen, and you had all kinds of crazy people living around you with purple hair and red lipstick and drinking their Dunkin' Donuts. And you swam at the local Y. And you did this for what? To manage your fears about whether you could make it as a poet in a city where the street smelled of rain-soaked garbage, rotting bodega fruit, and burning kebabs, and the relentless noise of cars, ambulances, and construction rattled me. And you know what that did? That just sort of like, whoa, that's intense. It's sort of like, I'm in a crazy place. And, you know, I'm trying to live a dream. I'm trying to achieve a dream, which happily you have done beautifully. And there you were, swimming at the Y to be able to help. What do you think about when you're swimming?
Oh, that's a good question, Dr. Peake. One thing I did want to mention, that I'm so happy you read the Mary Oliver poem, because she is truly a gifted poet. And I was very fortunate that she gave me an endorsement for one of my poetry books called The Players. And we actually grew up in Cleveland, Ohio. So I feel a spiritual connection with her. So I just wanted to say that.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it is. When I'm swimming, I mean, I wonder if you feel this way. I mean, there's something hypnotic that happens, and maybe it has to do with the movement of the body through the water. And it's almost like a trance-like meditation. And many times I often solved a problem swimming. For instance, as a writer, when I would be working on a novel or I was trying to figure out what one of my characters should do, and all of a sudden swimming allowed me, maybe because my mind was clear of everything else, I would be able to come up with a solution. So that's one aspect of swimming that I enjoy and that has helped me. When I was coping with the loss of my mother and swimming, I would allow myself to think about her and hear her voice in my head and kind of commune. So I think swimming can be a way of communing with those we've lost. And, you know, I also think that there's something about the physical activity, as you said, about your love of being outdoors and walking and swimming and biking. There's something about the activity of the body that I think elicits, maybe, I mean, I'm not a scientist or a medical expert, but I wonder if it elicits that kind of oxytocin that brings pleasure.
Well, it's actually, you're correct. And since I'm the scientist in the room, I'll fill in the gaps here. So number one, oxytocin is a hormone that actually brings us together and connects us. So when we're, you know, if I'm, you know, with my master's swim group, we're all bonding and we can all feel it. What you're actually referring to is dopamine.
Oh, okay. You're
right. Dopamine is the reward neurotransmitter. And so one of the things that we feel is some pleasure. And now at the same time, we're also feeling soothed. You know, sort of, it's interesting that when you're using your body like that, I mean, you're putting out effort here, you know, we're swimming. And this is true of walking or whatever. You actually are able to feel almost like a morphine-like feeling that is a natural morphine coming from our brainstem as we breathe and as we utilize our body. And so it's at that time that we feel so much more calm, even though we're using our bodies and really stressing ourselves in a big way. Now, when you're one of the things that's been studied is that when you actually are doing something like walking meditation, when you're running, anything where you're kind of doing something where your brain can go a little bit on cruise control. I mean, obviously mountain climbing, you know, climbing up some mountain where you could die any second. This is not a great time to put your brain in cruise control. But there are so many other things we do. Gardening is another place. All of these involve a bit of repetition and rhythmicity so that you do get into a hypnotic place where you're just basically letting your brain go. It feels really good. At the same time, you're exerting yourself. When you're exerting yourself, you're actually doing really wonderful things for your brain. So you're stimulating the neurons up there in a big way to grow. And we've already seen this in multiple studies over the course of many years now. So that's a very good thing. Want to get a bigger brain? That's a great way to do it. Whether it's swimming, whether it's hiking, cycling, whatever the issue may be. But I have found that creativity increases precipitously when you're doing some kind of rhythmic, almost hypnotic physical activity. It's like a meditation almost, don't you think?
Yes, I totally agree with you. It really is like you're in your own space and your own capsule. And I also find it, I practice yoga, and through my yoga practice, I also feel that sort of sense of calm. And even though your body is working, the mind is somehow set free. When people go through life events that can be challenging, exerting oneself in something that's joyful, that one loves to do and takes you out of yourself, you can find that you're actually doing something very important for yourself.
Mm-hmm. I believe in better living through your own chemicals. And so those endorphins that get, you know, it's like the morphine-like substance that gets secreted when you are doing physical activity like that. And again, everything from gardening to something that's rhythmic, et cetera, it works like a charm. I'm writing my next book right now. I'm actually going to be including this beautiful essay, excerpts from it, to get the point across that would you stop looking at any level of physical activity as some kind of grind? It really should be integrated into your life as a source of coping and healing and really, honestly, comfort. For me, it's absolutely comfort. But what I think about, the first thing that came to mind when I read this beautiful essay was when I began to swim as just a little girl, just like you. And I found that going back and forth, and once I was starting to do real drills and I became much more, you know, competitive, et cetera, there's that black line in the pool on the floor. And I don't know about you, but I see that black line until it forms a T, and that's when I do my flip turn, right? That black line is just absolutely mesmerizing to me. It's like I'm floating in space. I just love that feeling. Do you ever feel that?
Yes, certainly in the, you know, when I'm swimming in a pool that has the lanes, the lap lanes. And yes, it's almost like it's like driving you forward, you know, yes. And it's always reassuring when you get to the other side.
Exactly.
And then you go again. And really, it's the rhythmic motion that I think is so exhilarating and calming. I mean, one always sort of hesitates to get into cold water. One of my friends I used to swim with at the Y where I live, and during the winter, the pool was really cold. And when I got in the pool, I just started swimming very, very quickly. And then when my friend came, she said, the only reason why I went into the pool was because you did. Otherwise, I would have never jumped in because it was so cold. But, you know, within minutes, your body is just going and you can't really even feel the cold anymore.
That cold feeling, you know, I had to get over. Yeah, when you first get in that pool, it's like, oh my God. Well, first of all, you never want to swim in a warm pool. That feels horrible.
No.
But the cold is not bad. It's really not that bad. But it also is wonderful to challenge your body with that extra cold. And we have great new studies now that show, you know, that whole cold immersion thing and all the jocks out there are, you know, hitting an ice tub in the morning. It's like, oh, it's a cold plunge. And, you know, the whole thing. I'm like, nah, all you got to do is go swimming, honey. Just trust me, it'll be cold. Needless to say, I want to ask you about swimming in other places too when we come back. The Her Podcast is sponsored by Solaray Vitamins, Minerals, and Herbs, all rooted in nature. In addition to women's multivitamins, Solaray, S-O-L-A-R-A-Y, is presenting the new Her Life Stages products, providing support for the menstrual years, including PMS, perimenopause, menopause, and postmenopause, and even libido. This integrative holistic approach has a woman's back throughout her entire life journey. To learn more about Her Life Stages, you've got options. You can run on over to your local health food store or check it out at Whole Foods, Sprouts, Amazon, or scroll over to Solaray.com and use promo code HER20 for 20% off your purchase. Women, Solaray's got your back. And we're back. Okay. Now, I have a very special memory of the first time I was ever in a lake. And all of those little lake plants at the bottom, you know, kind of encircling my feet, almost saying, come on down with me. And I'm like, no, don't kill me here. But almost tickling me as I'm swimming, especially in the more shallow part. It's kind of interesting. And then looking over to where land is, imagining where you are at that very moment out there in the lake. It's kind of a wild feeling. How about you?
Yeah, I remember swimming in lakes. To be honest, I don't really love swimming in the lake because of the feel of the water. And yeah, the seaweed or whatever is at the bottom. Somehow I can't quite get into the same rhythm of swimming in a pool where you're in a, you know exactly where you're going because of that black line or that where the edge is. But I also associate swimming also being a writer that it's almost the same process that when I'm writing and I'm really in the zone of my project, it does feel almost like you're swimming through the language. The language just sort of starts flowing out of the brain. And there is some, I think, kind of connection because writing is a very solitary activity. You're just alone with yourself and your own thoughts and plots. And it is really a metaphor for swimming. the way in which I think the fact that you're doing something alone when life is so filled with relationships, people, job responsibilities, children responsibilities, motherhood. It's very healthy, I think, to have that outlet of doing something just for yourself.
I love that. You know, it was so interesting. Another memory floated to the surface, and that was with my very first book. When I wrote that book, I wrote it up in the country, my country place, just surrounded by beautiful places to hike and whatever. When I felt like I just couldn't sit any longer and make myself crazy, I just had to get up and move. That was it. So I would get out and I would just walk, just pound the pavement and really get out there and hike. That would eventually lead me to be walking anywhere between 6 to 12 miles a day because I would divvy it up. I would never do it all at one time. I wrote on and off throughout the day and sometimes the evening. So I remember, you probably, you've gotten this too. I was being interviewed by NPR for the first book. My interviewer was this wonderful guy. And he said, okay, so how much weight did you gain with this book? You know what I'm saying? You know where I'm going. It's like you sit there and sometimes you're just chomping on things just because it's like an anxious, nervous habit that we all get into. My hack is I chomp on carrots because they give me a nice crunch. And I said, oh, no, I didn't gain a pound. For that matter, I think I lost weight. And I explained to him what I did. And he says, that's amazing. I'm going to do that next time. Because he said, yeah, I gained 15 pounds in my first book. Like, oh, my God, don't let me do that. So, again, I want to read toward the end of this beautiful, beautiful piece, which I love. I swam again in the months after my mom died in early 2020 at the start of the COVID-19 pandemic. Her last years were in a care home in Cleveland where she suffered from Alzheimer's. Pandemic restrictions meant I couldn't be with her when she passed or even attend her gravesite funeral. And for that, Jill, I'm so sorry. There are no words. I swam through my sorrow, guilt, and disorientation. I swam through missing her. Swimming became a way for me to connect with her. I'd think of happier times, hearing her laugh, seeing her smile as I frog-kicked and looked out at the blue summer sky. Sometimes I spoke to her in my mind. Maybe she could hear me. We can't stop tragedies from happening or prevent the pain that comes with heartbreak. They are inescapable consequences of what makes life meaningful. Some people alleviate their suffering with a therapist, which at times in my life has been essential. Others find relief in long, candid social media posts. Oh, God, spare me. For me, therapy isn't enough. I need to swim through it all. It's about passing the time, feeling my strength, and finding relief in grasping the pool edge on the other side. It's just poetic. It's so beautiful. It just really, really resonates with me. I've spoken to runner friends who literally could just substitute the word running for swimming.
Yes, I can imagine that.
You know,
Dr. Pig, yes, absolutely. Yeah, it's amazing how even a half hour or 45 minutes can refresh the brain, the body, and also allow, as I said, for some thinking. I wrote my book, The End is the Beginning, right after my mother passed away because I felt this strong desire to resurrect her life because she went through many tragedies of her own. And I don't think that I could have accomplished the emotions that writing the book brought forth without swimming and yoga. You know, they were really essential. And I wanted to actually show you a copy of my book, The End is the Beginning.
Oh, what a beautiful cover.
Yes, and my mother's name was Iris, so these are irises.
So beautiful.
Yes, but really what you read, Dr. Peak, is certainly how I feel that we can't really stop life from happening, and sometimes what happens we can't control, and we need to figure out ways of controlling anxiety, fear, worry. For me, therapy has been essential, but it isn't enough. And I know that swimming really has got me through many moments and also has brought a lot of pleasure because it's something that I've done through the life course, right? So it does bring back those memories of different periods in my life and the different pools I swam in. And in New York City, when I first moved here, I did join the Y, but then as I got older, I wanted to try it because the Y was very crowded. You know, you had to really find your own lane and wait sometimes for your lane. And so I checked out all these hotels in New York City to find the best pool. That was also fun. A fun exercise.
Well, it's an adventure.
Right.
And think of the wild and crazy people you meet.
Right.
You know, you just never know. And you're hanging out with kind of kindred spirits there. That's the same thing with so many other things, hiking, walking, running, jogging, cycling. You've got little beehives everywhere. That connectivity is one of the most powerful. If anything, it's the most critical element that will predict success and longevity and quality of life. It's the connections. It's not the swimming, it's the connections.
I'm also interested in what you said about that activity, whether it's swimming or running, is also promotes creativity, because I feel that that has been so true for me. I don't know whether that is just because the mind is calmer.
It actually is getting stimulated.
Okay.
You know, it's a little bit paradoxical. You've got many things going on here. On the one hand, you have all those nice endorphins getting cranked. And so you're like kind of mood mellowed. But at the same time, you're energized. You're
yes.
rocking it out there. You're making
yes.
it happen. And so there's that going on. And then those neurons are getting stimulated. It's very healthy to challenge and stimulate those brain cells, which is why, interestingly, when I'm writing, I love making certain, you know, right now, since I have an iPhone, I could just dictate it in my iPhone. But when I come up with creative ideas, many times that occurs when I'm actually out doing my thing.
Me
you know,
too.
Like halfway through a hike and all of a sudden, boom.
Right.
The new title should be.
Right.
You know.
Exactly.
That Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. I find that I also have to immediately find my phone to write something into the notes section of the phone so I don't forget. I've solved many problems through activity.
See, that's the other thing. It's not just coming up with cool things for a book. It's also, you know, I just maybe had a real funkadelic connection with somebody and I need to process what's going on. And the best way to process is get up off your little feminine behind and then just do something. I don't care if it's just, you know, gardening, you know, playing around in the garden, taking that walk, just getting out. Out, out, out. And then somehow it just helps you recreate a narrative so that you can now see things a little bit more objectively. And that's where I see it in a big way. it's literally integral, you know, to my life. I remember when I was an undergraduate at Berkeley, I lived up in the Berkeley Hills. And what I would do is take my bike, throw it on the back of my car, drive up to Inspiration Point behind the Lawrence Rad Lab, and then just bike until forever, until this one beautiful place that overlooks Mount Tamalpais and the Golden Gate Bridge. And I would just sit there and think. I would meditate, think, contemplate. It was just, it was something I so looked forward to. Sometimes it was just to de-stress from all the pre-med classes I had to take and everything, organic chem, you know, being the king here. And I just found it to be so healing. So by the time I biked back to my car, I was different. I felt so much more reset in a very healthy way, you know, in a big way.
Yes.
So does that make sense?
Yes. I think it does connect. Activity does connect you back to your essential self. And whether it is, I also walk with my dog, and sometimes I walk with headphones on and listen to a book. And just that process of getting out of your own head through activity is very healing, definitely essential. I think a lot of us learned that during COVID, when we were shut in, and those of us who had access to being able to walk in parks, even with the mask on, I was so grateful for those walks.
Yeah, that's all I had. All the gyms were closed.
Right, right.
You know, and once again, nature was healing. So what's the lesson here, folks? You know what that lesson is. I've just beat you over the head with it, which is seriously getting out, especially into nature, is one of the best things you could possibly do to just reset mentally, physically, spiritually, using your body to be able to help your mind. You know, it's such a beautiful, holistic, integrative process. So this is one of those wonderful episodes where I'm talking to you about physical activity, where it's not about crunching out, burning calories and what. No, it's actually integral to your life. It's life-saving is really what it is in a big way. All I can do is, on behalf of everyone, Jill, thank you for your absolutely beautiful essay, because boy, I'll tell you, it took me right down memory lane. And every time I get in a pool right now, I think about that essay, and it just brings to mind the whole healing process. So Jill, thanks for that.
Thank you so much. I was just going to say, I think that essay, I received more emails from readers than maybe anything I've ever written. So there must be a lot of swimmers out there who are doing the same thing.
Yeah, you know, I read, I think it was like several days later in the op-ed section where they have a lot of readers' letters and stuff. And there was a beautiful letter about your essay from some woman who just said, I mean, this baby totally resonated with me. I get it. And I live it myself. So thanks to Jill Wielowski for doing this. So That's so cool. So that being said, I've just said thank you a million times. So all I can tell you is thank you, Jill, for writing this and for being on the Her podcast. And if everyone wants to run on out there, she's written a number of books. Her website is Jill Bialowski, and that's spelled JILLBIALOSKY.com. Learn more about her work and her latest book, The End is the Beginning, A Personal History, My Mother, which I very much look forward to taking a look at and enjoying, because I think you're an absolutely fabulous writer. So Jill, thanks for being on the Her podcast.
Thank you so much, Dr. Peak.
All right. And now I want to thank my sponsor, Solaray Vitamins, Minerals, and Herbs, all rooted in nature. Oh, my goodness gracious. And the new Her Life Stages products. Scope them all out at Solaray, SolaRay.com. And hey, now take a moment to leave us a review because we love to hear from you. This has been a production of Podcast Health. Here's a little reminder. Your time in this world may be limited, but the things you could do with that time, like swimming, are not. So get on out there and seize the day. Go find a pool somewhere. Thanks for listening, everyone.